You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. First day of May, the year 2020, just in case you're not paying attention. Good morning and welcome to All Marine Radio. Yeah, where all the cool people hang out. Yeah, so that would make you one of them. Congratulations! Yes! I love that. Breaking news this morning. There's a shooter at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi. Shooter's been neutralized. He was in the vicinity of the North Gate. There's been one person wounded and standing by for more information there. So the question is this another inside event? You know, we just had the director of the FBI, Mr. Wray, and the Attorney General, Mr. Barr, hold a press conference earlier this week telling us about an Al-Qaeda link to the shootings in at Naval Air Station Pensacola. So, I guess we'll have to wait to find that out, but... That's breaking news this morning. Also breaking news on a lighter note is Lori Loughlin and her husband, the designer, Massimino Giuliano. Giuliano Massimino. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, she's going to jail for 2 months. He's going to jail for 5 months. Now, I don't... Everything I've read, you don't read too much about him. Why is he going to jail for 5 months? And she evidently, everything I've read about it, which is not that much, but enough, says that, you know, she was not having this. Yeah, she was not having this. And so I guess she's having this now. Yeah, they thought they had a case. Or maybe they didn't, but, you know, they're just like, I'm not having this. Just as I bought my daughter's way into USC, I will, you know, I'll buy my way out of this, right? The justice of rich people. So that's come to an end. How crazy is that? The scale of justice being blind. Yeah. That's pretty crazy too. The other story that I like it when people click off safe. That may surprise you. It may not. But I do. I like it when people click off safe. And I especially like it when they click off save, because in our country, sadly, the truth doesn't matter anymore. Now, you've heard that before on this program, right? I know, yeah. So when somebody echoes that, I like it. So I want to play a little audio from the governor of Florida yesterday, who clicks off safe in a big way. Now, I want you, before he says anything, right, COVID-19 is most difficult on what community? The elderly community. Florida is full of what? Elderly people. Okay, so keep that in mind when you listen to Ron DeSantis here for about 80 seconds.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation...
So this is DeSantis talking to the media with Mike Pence standing next to him. And he goes off. This is awesome.
Situation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy. Wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally. We have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative. It challenges their assumption. So they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Last question.
How awesome is that? Right? And you're seeing this bullshit narrative play out in states like California. I mean, and you know, they tend to be led by Democratic governors. They are going to tell you how to suck the egg, and you're going to suck it, by God, because they're not having your bullshit. And I mean, it's honestly, I think it's crazy. You cannot go make a living because they say that even if you apply, and I heard this yesterday. I think somebody, they listen to All Marine Radio. If I do the same things as they're doing in Home Depot, I can't open. Why? Why fucking not? This is the United States of America. It's supposed to be about a blind standard. Oh, well, the governor doesn't think your business, right, ought to be open. Well, I don't give a shit what the governor thinks. I need my business to be open. I'm doing the exact same thing he or she is doing. Why not? What is the compelling case for public safety that I can't open even though they can? Because the governor says? It's bullshit. Straight up bullshit. So, Ron DeSantis. I love that. Clicking off safe in front of God and everybody. even uses the word hell in there, right? So again, what, we're 2 weeks into Georgia's reopening, we're 2 weeks into Florida reopening, and the apocalypse that was forecasted hasn't happened. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on is right. My next topic. So after I get off the air yesterday, or after the first hour, because I don't kind of do the news after the first hour, So did the interview with Mike Etor. If you haven't listened to that, listen to it. I think it's interesting because it talks about like how do you find out that you're a leader? How do you realize that I could do this? You know, how do you do that? How does that happen to you? And everybody has a different story, which I think is interesting. And Mike Etor's story is interesting. And then today on Lynch, Kinney and Cosentini, LKC, I asked them that question to start off the discussion, and you'll hear their answers to it. And they're all interesting. It's when did you think you had a little bit of leadership in you? And then when did you know you could do it? When did you think you'd be good at it? What happened there? What did you see? And so to me, that's interesting to hear people talk about this leadership thing. So you'll hear that today when we talk about that. We'll talk about Afghanistan, too, which has been in the news this week. They had a power sharing agreement late last week. Secretary of State encouraging them to get their shit together. And COVID-19 finances going to put pressure on the financial commitment to Afghanistan, and the president wants to get the hell out of there. So anyway, be interesting. I just want to give a shout out to Nancy. Nancy started listening to All Marine Radio because some friends told her about it, and she's been a faithful listener. She deals with some health issues in Western Pennsylvania, and so heard from her yesterday, which is good. So just want to send a shout out to her and to Bev up in Saskatchewan, who's sending me farming tips. Yeah, I've become a farmer. My time in North Dakota, that's right. That means I'm a farmer. I got farm dirt under my fingernail. Yeah, simply because I breathe the air up there, I know how to farm. I really don't, but I was asking for some advice. Anyway, I got a rototiller for a garden that I have. And, I got out to that garden yesterday. And got, you know, the mulch, you know, whatever shit you dump on top of it. And then you till that into the soil. So, yeah, big time farming yesterday. Agribusiness here in Southern California. And so, thanks to Bev for the advice. And I'm looking in this, I want to see flowers when I look out my window in the kitchen and when I look out the sliding glass door. I want to see flowers. I don't want to see just a fence or some other nasty bushes out there. I want to see color. So my plan is I cut down these cypress trees. And so I cut those down and then the flower bed itself is only maybe 2 feet, maybe 24 inches, 2 to 2.5 feet in width, and about, I don't know, 15 yards wide, 45, 50 feet. So anyhow, what I'm doing is I think it should be like a higher set of flowers, right, that have long stems. I haven't picked it out yet. So if you have any recommendations, if you're a botanist, let me know. Or if you just like flowers, let me know too. Right? So, and then they'll go right up against the fence. So, and I'm going to plant seeds. Yeah, because I'm a farmer. That's how farmers do it. I'm going to plant seeds. So I'll do that. And then inside of that, there'll be the rest of the garden will probably be wild daisies. I like daisies. Don't ask me why. I like the bright color. And I might throw something else in there. One never knows. But that's my farming story. So I got after that yesterday with the little 9-inch wide rototiller. And fired up about that. So, my farming. So I just want to say hey to Nancy and thank you to Bev. The next thing. So Now, back to where I was. So I then start watching the news, and I start seeing stories about Susan Rice saying that the White House counsel asked her to write that memo. And again, I go back to my advice. I'm halfway decent at this. I have to tell you this. And I'm loyal to the truth. And I remember Watergate. Scarred by it, as a matter of fact. John Dean bitching me out for taking a picture of him smoking a cigarette. Yeah. And if it wasn't that he had such a beautiful wife, I'd have shoved him over. But anyway, so I'm reading that, right? And White House counsel advised Susan Rice to write a memo on the Oval Office discussion. Rice penned inauguration day email at White House counsel's direction. Susan Rice's email exposes Team Obama's by-the-book treachery. Susan Rice documented Flynn meeting at the direction of the White House counsel's office. So those are all headlines, right? Those are all headlines. Former National Security Advisor instructed by Obama White House to pen memo. So, and I've talked about the C word, right? Conspiracy. So if this was done by the book, according to the rule of law, right? The attorney general, right, who the director of the FBI works for, would have been reminding everybody constantly that none of this triggered any kind of threshold. Comey would have said, my agents have told me that there's no there. And as much as my spidey sense doesn't like him, it doesn't break squelch. I have to tell you that. I have to be absolutely honest and say it doesn't break squelch. But none of that happened, right? And we can talk about what happened after that. So, you know, and then subsequent to that, Strzok sends his text, keep it open. Guys on the seventh floor, which is Comey, are interested, right? And then Comey sends, you know, people to the White House on a fishing expedition, right? And they essentially entrap Mike Flynn. Okay. Now, regardless of my feelings for Mike Flynn, who I don't hold in high regard, but regardless of that, now what happens? You have the meeting on the 5th with all the principals to include the president and the vice president. And they're talking about circumventing the peaceful transition of power in the United States. What do you call that? If you don't call it a conspiracy, what is it? And then Comey conducts his own rogue thing. Now, the piece that you find out about the White House counsel, now, before we leave office, he knows they're screwed. He knows that this is going to come out at some point. He knows that the Trump administration is going to find out about this stuff. And so what is he trying to do? He's trying to protect the president. And the president's all in it. He's all in it. And, you know, you would think the president would say, we're not going to do that. All right, here's what we're going to do. In the sake of transparency, which I owe the incoming administration, right, I will contact the president I will ask that he come here for a meeting. Director Comey, you'll be here. Sally Yates, you'll be here. White House counsel will be here. Whether the vice president is there or not, who gives a shit, right? Susan Rice can be there or not. So that's what should have happened. And President Trump should have been briefed on it. And then if he looks at the reports from the FBI at that time, what do the reports say? There's nothing here. So again, I don't know what you call that. If you don't call it a conspiracy, what do you call that? And again, the Attorney General, and the big thing in the Watergate thing was, you know, linked to the Oval Office, right? It got to Haldeman and Ehrlichman, so it was inside the White House now. You know, but I played the audio yesterday that Dick Nixon's not a crook. The American people have to know if their president is not a crook. And Dick Nixon's not a crook. I've earned everything. Blah, blah, blah. Effective at 1 o'clock today, I will transfer. I will resign as the president of the United States. Bullshit. So what you had yesterday was the admission, right, that we're doing this by the book, right? Right? Everybody nod your head. Right. Let me tell you, if there's ever one thing I've seen that wasn't done by the book, it's this fiasco. It's this fiasco. And I said this yesterday and I'll say it again. Chuck Schumer, man, what an ass clown. As the COVID-19 thing started, what was the American Congress doing? Impeachment. It didn't stop what it was doing. I mean, it was the culminating act in all of this. And now you have Chuck Schumer saying, and now that we're finding out the truth, you have Chuck Schumer, another Democrat, saying, oh, you know, why are we wasting our time on this shit? And I'm going to pull two stories together right now. The Ron DeSantis story. Okay, now if you didn't hear it, if you're just tuning in, I'm going to play this again, right? And I want you to think about the truth of the COVID-19 thing. You had the governor of the state of New York who fucked it up, okay? Who fucked it up, go on TV every day and the media loves him and they believe in his narrative. What happens if he's wrong? The same with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. What happens if they're not right? They're advocates for a very narrow perspective, and that is it's their own view of public health. What happens if they're wrong? All right, now I want you to think about the truth. This is, again, Ron DeSantis again.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next, just like Italy. Wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela corridor, DC, everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative. It challenges their assumption. So they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
I love that, right? To hear somebody bust out at the end laughing. But let me tell you, the lack of fidelity to the truth in both these stories is mind-blowing, okay? Is mind-blowing. You know, the story about Sweden, you know, I wouldn't even say the story. The narrative about Sweden is that Sweden can't be right. Okay? Look at what they're doing. Other Scandinavian countries have a higher death rate. They won't when they hit play on their economy. They hit pause. Sweden did not. Oh, Sweden. So the narrative is that they did it wrong. That they're rolling the dice with the lives of the people in Sweden. Well, go look at Sweden. And at the end of the day, what are we going to find? Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? It's going to be interesting. But that's not what the truth is not as sexy, and maybe it doesn't drive people to click on shit. And so it's a huge casualty. And let me tell you, the same thing with the story relative to the president. I'm sorry, former President Obama. And this thing that happened. Let me tell you, it's way worse than Watergate. Because Watergate was stupid, right? And Nixon didn't invent those tricks, breaking into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. He didn't invent those tricks. He learned them someplace, right? He learned those tricks from somebody. He grew up with those tricks. That's why they were there. So, in my opinion, Watergate was stupid. This is a straight-up conspiracy against an incoming administration. And, you know, and the reason why everybody finds it so hard is because, the media fawns over Barack Obama. He was a terrible president. He made the country weaker in a variety of areas. Economically, we're just another joke country. We're not. Militarily, he didn't do his job. And he seems like a wonderful human being. But we don't need a wonderful human being as a president. We need somebody who'll fight for American jobs, right, for a rules-based order on the planet, and will keep the country safe. That's what we need. And we need a media that will tell the truth, and they don't. It's awful. And these two stories are huge beacons exploding in front of the media, and their narrative is just awful. You know, all they want to do is they want to report on, the president's condition. Is he wearing a mask today? That's news, really. Right? So the truth is isn't important in our democracy anymore, and it's you have a right to your opinion. You don't have a right to your own set of facts, and that's what reporting is supposed to uncover. And they've stopped doing that, and it comes at a terrible cost to the democracy. So anyway, all right. On that note, good morning. On that positive note. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official in about 32 minutes. You'll hear Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny, and Will Cosentini. And we're going to talk about Afghanistan, residual forces in Afghanistan, and a little bit about leadership. And then the other thing we're going to talk about is the Navy put in this 100-meter standoff thing around its ships. Are they going to pull the trigger when somebody breaks that? I ask them that question. You can get there. You'll hear their responses. So, with all that said, United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. this is dedicated to Nancy and Bev. They're both faithful fans of All Marine Radio, and hope everybody's doing good. And thank you for the farming advice.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here on a Thursday. Currently cloudy and 56 in Quantico, down the coast. Cloudy and 70 at Camp Lejeune, where my oldest son is. In Twentyman Palms, sunny and 63. So pretty mild out in the desert. Camp Pendleton reports sun and 56. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. Okinawa, dark, raining, and 67 degrees. Helmand Province, early in the evening, partly sunny and 88. And in Ramadi, late in the afternoon, it is sunny and 106. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is fair and 59, looking for a high of 76 today, 72 tomorrow, and 71 on Saturday. So beautiful here today. That is a look at your weather. You know, let me share a little bit of news. I think I'm going to get to interview Max Cleland. Yeah, I'm fired up about that. Joe Galloway helping me. How does this governor of New York not come under incredible heat for what he's done in the state of New York. And then New Jersey copied him. And what they did was they forced senior citizen centers to take patients that were positive for COVID-19. They could have sent those patients to the Comfort. They did not, or the Mercy, whatever one was in New York Harbor. They didn't even use that ship. They built a big hospital at the Javits Center. Why didn't they protect the senior citizens of his state? And why is he not taking any shit for it? You know, he still has New York City. There's a, if you want to check something out, look at the front of the New York Post. Right? Look at the front of the paper. I think there's a thing on the side that says sections, and I think there's something that says front page. The whole paper, the whole front of the paper is, you know, like, stop the insanity. Stop the insanity, right? It's time to open New York City up. And so a guy who was so cavalier, right, with the lives of senior citizens and is responsible for the measures that inflicted so much death in New York, and then New Jersey copied it almost word for word. Sits on New York City. No, I'm not having it. Not going to happen. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, I watch it and I just, you know, to me, it's, it's absolutely stunning. The headline on the New York Post today is, "It needs to end now." And now is in, like, the biggest font they can make. All right? And it quotes one of their columnists. "The Big Apple is dying. Its streets are empty. Tens of thousands have been plunged into poverty. Our leaders have no plans, no answers. New Yorkers have already learned to socially distance. Businesses can't adjust. The elderly and infirm can't continue to be isolated." What is so hard about that? It needs to end now. Crazy. Crazy. Deaths per million. At the bottom is Switzerland, 222. Number right above them is the United States, 280 per million people. Then Ireland and the Netherlands and Sweden. And then above Sweden, not by a little bit, by a lot, is France, the United Kingdom, Italy, Spain, and Belgium. The United States at 280 per million. Sweden at 367. Now, mind you, Sweden never hit the pause button. So now that we unpause it, watch our numbers go up. Their numbers should stay pretty constant. And then we'll see who's, you know, where people are at the end. But crazy times we live in. So we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here in your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders, that's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to read you a little bit from the column. Written by a guy named David Marcus. In New York City's lockdown now. I like it because it clicks it like the governor of Florida clicks off safe. Sometimes a good rant is all a writer can offer. Bear with me. Last Friday morning, some 3,500 New Yorkers lined up at a Catholic church in Queens to receive free food hours before it even opened, according to the New York City Police Department. Catholic Charities has reported a 200% increase in demand over the past month and a half. By prolonging the coronavirus shutdown, long after its core mission was accomplished, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio have plunged tens of thousands of New Yorkers into poverty. It needs to end now. In mid-March, we were told we have to endure a lockdown to ensure the hospitals didn't get overrun. We did. The hospitals were not overwhelmed. We turned the Javits Center into a hospital. We didn't need it. We brought in a giant Navy ship to treat New Yorkers. We didn't need it. We were told we were moments away from running out of ventilators. We weren't. And now the United States has built so many, we're giving them away to other countries. Meanwhile, the Big Apple is dying. Its streets are empty. The bars and jazz clubs, restaurants, and coffee houses sit barren. Beloved haunts, storied rooms, perfect slice joints are shuttered. Many for good. The sweat equity of countless small business owners is evaporating. Instead of getting people back to work, providing for their families, our mayor talks about a fantasy land new deal for the post-coronavirus era. Open the city, all of it, right now. Broadway shows, beaches, Yankee games, the schools, the top of the freaking Empire State Building, everything. New Yorkers have already learned to socially distance. Business can't adjust. The elderly and infirm can continue to isolate. It gets better. For 2 months, we have waited for Cuomo and de Blasio to tell us this ends. Where is ex-Mayor Michael Bloomberg with his alleged army of tracers that the governor told us was the key to reopening? And why did he hand that responsibility over to Bloomberg, who nobody elected anyway? What the hell is going on? Is anybody in charge of this situation? Or are we just left with the governor and his talking head brother arguing on CNN about which of the two Ma loves most? Who cares? In April, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp defied experts by opening his state. The Atlantic magazine, once a serious publication that should now come with a stick of, with a stick of stale bubblegum, accused him of engaging in human sacrifice. You want to guess what happened? Guess. Come on. Take a guess. Instead of the predicted spike in deaths, the number of cases of coronavirus and associated deaths declined. We should always consider that we are led by idiots, as one of my friends likes to remind me. Cuomo and de Blasio have no plan. There is not a single question about when New York can get back to normal to which they have a straight answer. Not one. They cash their taxpayer paychecks while immiserating the rest of us. If our elected leaders won't save the world's greatest city from a slow death by economic strangulation, then the people of New York must do it themselves. Barbers, tailors, nail salons, sporting goods stores, movie theaters, and others should open their doors while maintaining social distancing, of course, and dare the state to shut them down. Our politicians serve by our consent. We don't run our businesses or live our lives by their consent. The suggestion to the contrary is an affront to Americanism. It has been a long time since this country, let alone this city, really had to deal with the prospects of mass starvation. This isn't about the stock market. It's about parents putting their kids to bed hungry and hoping there will be something for them to eat when they get up at 4:30 a.m. and get in line for the food bank. We did what we were asked. We flattened the freaking curve. There is no longer any reasonable justification for the government to deprive us of our livelihoods. This is an aside from me. That's like a Declaration of Independence shit right there. There is no longer any reasonable justification for the government to deprive us of our livelihoods. And our rights aren't the government's to grant or take away. They belong to us. The free grant of nature and the God of nature. We're Americans. We're more than that. New Yorkers, goddammit. How about that? That's awesome, man. I think a great lesson in civil disobedience for our current culture, who hasn't done a lot of it, who's lived a self-absorbed life, and we who fought for this country, the 1%, we know that because unless they've been, their lives have been intruded upon by the wars and the casualties that have come home for the wars. I mean, they've been largely unaffected. They don't participate. They watch it on TV. Seems like a really unfortunate thing. My heart goes out to, people that have been affected. But, are we still going to go to the lake this weekend? Right? But, this is amazing. All over the country. And it tends to be in Democratic-controlled states. And, you know, is big government going to have a solution? Let me tell you, do you think that a Republican administration is going to bail out Democratic states because they decided that they know better? I don't think so. And again, it doesn't matter what happens in the election, because whatever happens, even if the Senate gets swung to the Democrats, they're not going to have 60 seats. And without 60 seats, you can't get shit through the Senate. So that dog won't hunt. You'll have a hung jury. So anyway, yeah, pretty interesting. New York Post. His name is David Marcus. Go ahead and check that one out today. Yeah. So, all right, let me check some news headlines. And before we head over to, I love the Ron DeSantis thing. He's pissed. And he's pissed because people have stopped telling the truth. Okay? They've stopped telling the truth. All right. An update to a story. This is some USNI news. They will continue to post updates on the story. NAS Corpus Christi is on lockdown after an early morning shooting that injured Naval Security Force Sailor 1 and resulted in the alleged shooter being quote-unquote neutralized, Navy officials told USNI News this morning. Naval Security Forces responded to an active shooter at NAS Corpus Christi at about 7:15 a.m. Eastern Time, resulting in the injury to one NSF sailor. They don't say what the injury was. Could be a, you know, hyperextended knee. The shooter was neutralized by NSF forces. The base remains on lockdown. All gates on the installation remain closed while first responders process the scene. NCIS is en route. Corpus Christi police said the incident took place at one of the air station's gates. Corpus Christi is home to four squadrons of training Air Wing 4 and uses Truex Field on base and outlying airfields. Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard and foreign student pilots train at the base. So, yeah, the question is, who did the shooting down there? So that's that in the news this morning. Iraq announced the arrest of ISIL's number 2, Nasser al-Kardash. He was appointed to the role as deputy to the current ISIL chief, Abu Ibrahim al-Qusayri. Iraq has arrested one of the former candidates to succeed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the slain leader of ISIS. The Iraqi intelligence service announced in a brief statement yesterday, the intelligence agency said today the terrorist named Nasser al-Kardash, the candidate to succeed the criminal Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS in Iraq, has been arrested. So congratulations to them. But again, much like the drone strike, doesn't seem to make any difference. Stars and Stripes headlines, top of the fold, USS Blue Ridge breaks its day at sea record as a Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier officially kicks off its deployment. So the Blue Ridge is a command and control ship. Not sure what it's doing at sea for so long, but top headline. The USS Theodore Roosevelt set sail after battling coronavirus for nearly 2 months. The aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt has returned to sea after spending 2 months sidelined at Guam to battle a coronavirus outbreak, the Navy announced on Thursday. The carrier left Naval Base Guam and entered the Philippine Sea on Thursday to conduct carrier qualification flights for Carrier Air Wing 11, the statement says. So they are back at it. The investigation into the events surrounding the carrier remain ongoing. Next headline, Stars and Stripes. U.S. envoy working to resuscitate flagging Afghan peace deal. And that is Zalmay Khalilzad. The first visit to Kabul by Washington's peace envoy since Afghanistan's squabbling political leadership reached a power-sharing agreement comes amid increasing violence blamed mostly on an Islamic State affiliate that has been targeted in stepped-up U.S. bombing. Khalilzad called for reduction in violence by all sides in Afghanistan's protracted conflict that has kept America's military engaged there for 19 years. He also said too much time has been wasted getting to the second and critical phase of the peace deal, which calls for talks between the Taliban and Afghanistan's political leadership. I don't understand why neither the Taliban nor the Afghan national forces, for whatever reason, neither one of them can get this under control. Doesn't make sense to me. Between the two of them, they should be able to liquidate those ISIS guys. Top story in just the news today is Virginia governor spent 65 days on taxpayer-funded jaunts to his North Carolina beach home since the start of 2019. That's a lot. That's a lot. This guy, how this guy survived, this was the guy who did, you know, the Ku Klux Klan pictures and shit like that. How that guy, right, is still around is beyond me. One more story that caught my eye. U.S. to sell Taiwan 180 million in advanced torpedoes. The announcement of the deal comes as Taiwan's president is sworn in for a second term. Congress has been informed that the U.S. government is preparing for a possible sale of 180 million of advanced torpedoes to Taiwan. The sale would further increase tensions between the United States and China, already frayed by the coronavirus pandemic. So, you know, why we're afraid to sell to China is beyond me. USNI, obviously the story about Corpus Christi comes out of there. The other story that comes out of there is a GAO study. Women are 28% more likely to leave military service than men. Now, family planning, lack of dependent care, sexism, and sexual assault were among the top reasons that more women leave the military than male counterparts. They leave it at a rate 28% higher than males do. So, kind of interesting statistics. DOD-wide, women compose 16.5% of the force. The Army, they compose 15%. The Navy, they compose 20%. The Marine Corps, they are 9%, and in the Air Force, they're 20%. It gives you a breakdown. I'd never seen that breakdown side by side by side by side. So it's kind of interesting. Navy issues new distance guidelines for vessels after close encounters with Iranian ships. This is from the Associated Press. The U.S. Navy warned Tuesday will take lawful defensive measures against vessels in the Middle East that come within 100 meters of its warships, offering specific guidelines. Our ships are conducting routine operations in international waters wherever international law allows and do not seek conflict, said Commander Rebecca Reberish, a Bahrain-based spokesman for the U.S. Fifth Fleet. However, our commanding officers retain the right of self-defense if deemed necessary. While 100 meters may seem far, it's incredibly close for a large warship. You think? Anyway, in the next hour, we'll ask the question. So what happens when one of these Iranian speedboat breaks 100 meters? Do you think Navy guy's going to shoot at him? I'm going to go out on the, I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. All right. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, there are some new rules for relaxing stay-at-home policies on military installations. The military overreacted a little bit to this, but anyway. So the same guidance applies to them. Let's go. Number two, Pompeo denies retaliation in the firing of a State Department watchdog. Secretary of State on Wednesday adamantly denied that he recommended firing the State Department's independent watchdog in retaliation for an investigation into Pompeo's conduct as America's top diplomat. However, he declined to provide specific reasons for Steve Linnick's dismissal as Inspector General. Number three, aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt returns to sea. Number four, after two crashes within a week, Eglin Air Force Base announces a safety pause. So that probably surprises nobody. And the military needs a real plan to recruit and retain women, study finds. So this is written by Megan Myers, and it's citing the GAO report. She goes on to say, the report focuses on the years 2004 through 2018, from the early years of the global war on terror, when multiple successive deployments became the norm, to the first days of the services implemented the repeal of a ban on women serving in direct combat jobs. So, women in the DOD, always an interesting subject. All right. That is a look at your news today. When we come back, Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch, Will Cozzettini are going to join me. I'll put a link to the Ron DeSantis rant. It's not a rant. He's just pissed, man. When reporters aren't interested in the truth, you have shit like this happening. You have the governor in the state of New York, who's been horrible throughout all of this, sitting on the economy now, causing more damage to more people. And what he did to the senior citizens of the state of New York is horrible. And he's taken absolutely no scrutiny. None. Because it's not the narrative, right? The media was selling the New York City marathon, the New York City narrative. And it's not true. And the governor of Florida has every right to be pissed, because somehow or other, reporters adopt a narrative and then they advocate for it. It's not supposed to be that way. They're supposed to report the truth. And we struggle with it. And we're struggling with it in Obamagate. And people don't want to call it that. And, you know, but what else? When you have the President of the United States involved in it, when you have the President's White House counsel telling the National Security Advisor on the day of the inauguration, hey, did you type that memo up? We need to make sure, you know, we say things like by the book in the memo, okay? Okay? Why would a lawyer say that? Because they know that their client's vulnerable. To the point that at the 11th hour, right, the 59th second of the 11th hour, right, he's reminding the National Security Advisor, you got to get that done. It's got to be part of the public record. So we have something that denies we acted inappropriately. Well, why would you deny something then? Who would accuse you of that? Oh, you understand. All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.